If you could turn back in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, that'd be really helpful. You might be thinking, why have we suddenly jumped to Acts chapter 2 in this particular passage about that early church? Well, September really is the time of new beginnings in the Northern Hemisphere. It's the time of change, isn't it? Schools start back after summer break. It's the beginning of the new school year. And for those of us with children, it's really the start of our kind of whole new year. And I would have done this sermon before I went to Fiji on the 1st of September, but that's our kind of all-age services. So really, this is a one-off sermon trying to look at some of those fundamentals of who are we? Who are we as a church? What are we about? What's our core? And as we go forward into the next 12 months, what do we want to be committed to, devoted to? For many of us who've been here a while, we can have easily slip into that familiar pattern, don't we? You know, we come along to church at 10 o'clock, some people 10 past 10, quarter past 10. We sit down, we have a Bible reading, we sometimes join in, we sing some songs, we have a children's talk, we sit back down again, the youngsters go out, we have some prayers, we have a Bible reading, we have a talk, a sermon, a blessing. We might stay afterwards for some coffee, we might suddenly make a runner, and we just kind of go through that pattern. Now, in some sense, there's nothing wrong with patterns. But if it's just, well, that's what we do on a Sunday, then really we've just become a religious social club whose interest is religion rather than going to the soccer club and playing sport. So we've got to kind of step back from our patterns and go, well, why do we do what we do? Who are we? And how does the who are we then reflect in kind of what we do? I was chuckling to myself on my second plane from America to Fiji, which is Fiji Airways. They're lovely. The staff are wonderfully hospitable, but it's a pretty no-frills airline. So when it comes to the kind of the safety talk, there's none of these pictures. Have we got a PowerPoint? There we go. So if you travel Air New Zealand, you get glamorous safety videos with hobbits and orcs and Lord of the Rings stuff. Okay, the orc with the oxygen mask coming down. Right? Because they've got a really important message to communicate and they want you to listen to it. And it is important, isn't it? Because if your plane crashes, you want to know how to survive. But Fiji Airways, well, they don't worry about that. They have the old-fashioned three or four air hostesses just mimicking. They're putting on their own safety jacket and they're saying the emergency exits are here. In the case of emergency, the oxygen comes down, right? And everyone is just reading their newspapers, in their books, watching the entertainment screens. They're just in that familiar pattern. And we can be like that too. Now, I'm not going to dress up as an orc to give this talk. I'm not going to shrink and become a hobbit. All right? I'm not going to become Gandalf. But let's pray that actually God would speak to us through a very ordinary servant with no voice, powerfully by his Spirit through his word. So let's pray. Lord, as we look at who we are as a church, we pray that you would speak to us because you are the Lord, the Christ, the head of this church, just as you're the head of the one global church. Please, Lord, speak to us today, we pray. Amen. As I've kind of gone on as a Christian, six verses have had more and more influence on me as to what any church should be about than any other in the Bible. And they're the six verses that we had read to us today. And I come back to these six verses because I think in them we see the blueprint for any church, for all churches, for God's one church. It's these verses, if you like, that inspire all Christians to walk that faithful life for Jesus, that inspires Christians to pick up their cross and follow him. These are the six verses that allow Christians in countries far more hostile than here to stand against horrendous opposition and be faithful to Jesus because they know what they're about as a local church. So without any further ado, there's going to be a few questions coming up on the screen. I'm going to do a little bit of work in small groups, just trying to understand these verses for ourselves a little bit more. So just turn with the people next to you and just spend 3 or 4 minutes having a look at those three questions. Well, our boys' group at the front is finished, so you must all be finished by now, I'm sure. Hopefully you saw from verse 42 that there's four things in particular that this church devoted themselves to. Now that word devoted is like super glue. Imagine I've got some Pritt stick here, all right? And I put two bits of paper together with my Pritt stick. Now, how stuck together really is that with Pritt stick? Not good, is it? Yeah, give me half an hour, give me 5 minutes, and I can just pull it apart. Maybe you've done it where you've tried to super glue something together and you've got some on your fingers. And it's like that. Have you tried getting it off? You end up peeling your skin off, don't you? It's the only way to do it, right? It's that level of stickiness, commitment, right? There's these four things that the church, like super glue, stuck to. It didn't matter what else happened. There were these four things that they, through thick and thin, year after year, would stick to. I wonder if you've seen them there in verse 42. Teaching, great. So they've devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Three more things. The fellowships of the local church. Thank you. Breaking bread, so the Lord's Supper. And to prayer. So we're going to look at those sort of four things. And we're jet lagged about, what time was it? I think it was about 5 a.m. yesterday morning. I had inspiration for four L's to help us try and remember it. So they're a learning church, a leaning church, leaning upon God in prayer, the Lord's Supper, and then a loving church. And we'll see how they loved each other, but also how they loved outsiders as well. So let's look firstly then at this idea of being a learning church. Ali, can I have the next slide, I think? Great. So they learnt... So they're a learning church. They learned from the apostles. Yeah, the apostles were their teachers in the school. That was their given role by Jesus. These apostles had been with Jesus for the last 3 years. They'd heard all his teaching. They'd seen his miracles. And now Jesus had passed on the baton to them. They would now teach the people. And they'd established churches all around that Mediterranean area. And they would then continue teaching new people. And the focus of their teaching was really simple. It's all about Jesus. We see in just that little bit before, in Acts chapter 2, Peter has just preached a sermon at Pentecost. We know the Holy Spirit was poured out. And there's all sorts of confusion going around. He says, look, it's really simple. You've made mountains out of molehills. All that you've seen, it's all about Jesus. Look at verse 36. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So it's all about Jesus. That's what the apostles are teaching. It's about his death for sin, his resurrection to show that sin has been conquered, paid for, death has been conquered. And we know that Jesus then ascended, didn't we? To the place of heaven, now to the right hand of the Father, where he sits in authority. So it's all about Jesus. But it's also all about us. Look at verse 38. All about Jesus, all about us. Peter, the apostle preaching, said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So it wasn't so Jesus-centered, so up there, that it didn't come down into real life. Because look, because of who Jesus is, you need to repent. You need to turn from living your way and turn to live with Jesus as Lord and Christ, as King and Saviour, and be baptised. That's a public declaration that Jesus is now Lord of your life. And then we're given the Holy Spirit so that we might live day after day for Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit is just like a huge torch shining upon Jesus. So if we are Christians, we are Spirit-filled. And it's going to be shown because we desire to live for Jesus day after day. So unashamedly at Hope Church this next 12 months, we want to be committed to the apostles' teaching. We're going to be opening up our Bibles. We'll have discussion. We'll have talks. Because this is how God speaks to us today, and we need to hear his voice. If the Bible remains shut, if it collects dust at home, if it collects dust on a Sunday and we just devote ourselves to other things, funnily enough, the world will not stop preaching to us. And we're bombarded with the world's voice through the media 24/7. So if God's word is shut, we're going to be malnourished at best, stunted growth Christians, and not overly useful to our master, Jesus. So we're going to be committed as a church to the apostles' teaching, to learning. I wonder if you can remember, maybe going back to school or to university, times where you were physically present, you turned up for class, but mentally you were AWOL, you're absolutely somewhere else. You think back to a time? And I wonder if we come to church like that. Oh, good, the sermon. Time for a kind of horizontal half hour. Chance to kind of catch up on a bit of sleep I didn't get the previous night. Hopefully he won't go on too long. Or maybe he will go on a bit long and then I can have a longer sleep. You know, and we're just not present. We might as well not be here. We're not devoted like superglue to learning if we're mentally AWOL. The Bible might be open, but if we're not paying attention, if we're not engaging, it's very hard for God to be speaking to us through his word. I wonder if we need, you know, those defibrillators that you sometimes get, you know, that kind of electric shock treatment to wake you up. Maybe you need that. Check the person next to you is awake. Give them a quick poke if they're not. Or maybe it's as simple as a good old-fashioned bit of pen and paper. I think you've taken about 10% of what's being said by simply listening. So for 95% of you, I've got at most a 10% chance of you retaining 10%. Start scribbling some notes down. Even doing some doodling while you listen. Suddenly the retention goes to about 30 to 40%. Discussion. Now we're up to 50, 60% of retention. We need to be using these tools that God has given us so that we are a learning community. Let's not be Christians who are stunted in our growth. Okay, so we're a learning church. Secondly, we're to be a loving church. We are to love each other. You see, what was marvellous about this early church is that they quickly discovered that if they were committed to Jesus, and we've seen that they were because they repented, they were believed, they baptised, and they're added to the church, then exactly that, they are added to the church. They didn't repent, believe, and stay by themselves at home. They became quickly committed to the local church. They didn't look for sound bites on Spotify. They didn't turn on their Spotify playlists on a Sunday and listen to their favourite songs in bed. They didn't turn to kind of YouTube to find a good sermon from somewhere in the world and then turn it off after 5 minutes because they're not saying what I want to hear and I'll find somewhere else. You know, Sunday after Sunday, they'd be found in the local church. Wednesday and Thursday, after Wednesday and Thursday, they'd be found in the home groups. they were loving each other. They knew that a Christian by themselves was something that didn't exist. There is no such thing as a Christian apart from being in a local church. Sometimes we might think that being part of a church is like salt on your fries, an optional extra. Take it or leave it. None of this church, these Christians knew from day one that they needed to be in the local church. So they gathered. And remember, this is what they devoted themselves to. They were like super glued to each other. And if you're away for a month at a time, you're not doing a good job of being super glued to each other. I wonder if it was harder for us to meet together, whether we'd be more committed. Can I have the next slide, Ali? Some of you may recognize this young lady, Annalise. She was one of the students I discipled in New Zealand, and in that previous world of lockdown, when it didn't really matter where you were in the world, she came online and just shared something of her testimony. Annalise had the privilege of going to the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students World Assembly, which was in Cape Town in 2019. And one of the things that she came back absolutely bowled over with was the commitment of some of the Christians to getting there. I think the conference was in August. And some of the students from some of the Middle Eastern countries left to come to the conference 2 months earlier. Not because it took them that long to get on a plane, but because they knew as they left their town and then their country, they'd be being followed by people wanting to kill them for their faith. And so they would mislead the people following them by thinking they're going to other places, to other countries. And they kind of lose their thread before finally ending up 2 months later in Cape Town. That's how committed these Christian students were to each other. I wonder if we had something of that pressure, whether we'd realize the importance more of our fellowship with each other. So that's what we want to be like at Hope. We want to be committed to each other. If someone's not here for a week, it's good that as God's people, we ring each other and say, hey, how are you doing? We missed you. Not to give a guilt trip, not to tick a box of a register to say, good, we've turned up this week, good job done. No, because if we're committed to Jesus, we're committed to the local church. One of my heroes of old, who's now gone to glory, next slide, please, Ali. Many of you will have read many of his books, John Stott. He says this, I'll just read the first bit. An unchurched Christian is a grotesque anomaly. The New Testament knows nothing of such a person. The New Testament knows nothing of such a person. So look around, think about who's not here today. Who can we make a phone call to? Look around. Look. Think about who's missing. Don't stare at me. I'm here. Who are you going to make a phone call to afterwards to see who's not here? Who normally sits here who's not here today? Ben and JB. Thanks, Tony. Lynn. Good. Yep. Who normally stands about here and does some children's talks? Ernie. He's on holiday. Good, good. Margaret Alma. This is what loving each other looks like. It's not just about listening to me. It's about what does it look like when we leave here. Who else? There's other people I can think of. Regulars who aren't here. Thank you. Who else? Come on, let's think. This is what loving is. Yes, thank you, Angela. Who's going to give Hannah a call and say, Hannah, how are you doing? Thank you, thank you. Matthew. You know about Lois?
I don't know about
Okay, could you give Margaret? Lovely. This is what a loving church looks like. It's not so much about just turning up here on a Sunday and then going. It's about looking out for each other through the week. And then when people aren't here next week, again, look around. When you come here on a Sunday, look around. Oh, such and such not here. Right, I'll make a note to call them. Okay, so there's our first two things so far. We're a learning church, we're a loving church. Okay? Thirdly, we want to be committed to the Lord's Supper. So, maybe each week, as the church gathered, someone in the church would have maybe stood up and said, "This is the body of Jesus, broken for us. Take this, eat this, to remember what Jesus has done in his death on the cross." And then they would take the wine. And they'd say, "Wine, blood." It's not blood, it's wine. But this is Jesus' blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it and feed and drink on Christ spiritually. Be nourished as you remember what Jesus has done for you. So that's what we're going to do now. Would James and John, do you want to just come out and give out the bread and the wine? We're going to take it now. Oh, it turns out. Tony, can you come and help John? Thank you. Thanks, Ian, Mum. Yeah, I'll give thanks now. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to give yourself for us. And we thank you for this meal, this celebration where we can remember just how magnificent your death for sinners like us was. Thank you that we can continually feed on you. And we thank you that we've got these emblems that we can do that with now. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's come back. So we've seen a learning church, a loving church, a church committed to the Lord's Supper. I want to see a leaning church. Look at verse 46. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received food with glad and generous hearts. And back in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the prayers. So I think we can put those things together and say, look, they met formally and informally. You might say as a gathering as a whole, in a building, in the temple, but they also met in each other's homes. And they have the apostles teaching in both, and they'd be praying. They'd use their homes for praying. They were committed to the prayer meetings. Now, I can't say that about us. Our prayer meeting is probably the worst attended meeting. I did some calculations. There is over 700 hours in a month. Right? And once a month, we have a prayer meeting that lasts, let's say, 1.5 hours. So 1.5 hours out of 700, that's not even 1/3 of 1%. And yet we can't be bothered to turn up. Sure, I understand, you know, some of us got young families, we might have a sniffle or two, but time after time, we're not committed to the local prayer meeting. And I wonder what that says about us. Is that, you know, as we sang, you know, we are not the superheroes, but do we think we are the superheroes? We can do this in our strength. We don't need God's help to grow us as Christians. We don't need God's help to grow us as a church. We can do it by ourselves. And I'll come back to God on a Sunday. Now, of course, I know when we're thinking rightly, we're saying that's stupid. Of course we wouldn't. Of course we don't. But practically, why are we not committed to praying? Why aren't we committed to praying for marriages? For marriages to be restored where they're broken? Why aren't we praying for our church leaders? Why aren't we praying for each other, for our needs? Why aren't we praying for our local witness? We'll commit to our football team. We'll commit to our cricket, to our knitting, to our sewing. We'd never be missing that. But prayer, give or take. I wonder what that says about us. So our next prayer meeting, we've moved it to the 10th of October, the second of the month, so as not to clash with the women's group the same week. Please put in your diary. The 10th of October, 7:30, our house. It's a Thursday. We stop home groups for the week so that people can commit to it. Thursday, 10th of October, 7:30. Let's show our commitment as a church who love each other, super glued to each other in prayer. We want to be committed to that in this year ahead. Okay, let's come back to verse 44 and 45, and actually another loving. So the love that they have for each other wasn't just the kind of checking up on each other. There's a practical element to it as well. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. Tell me, what did they do with their possessions? They shared them. Thanks, John. Who with? Each other. Good, good. And why did they share with each other? Look down, you're not going to find the answer on the ceiling. Verse 44, 45. Say it again, please, Keith. Yeah. Someone's in need. Someone can do something about it to alleviate the poverty or whatever. And they help. In Fiji, after 2 weeks ago church, we went out for lunch, just a simple picnic lunch. And I got chatting with this lovely lady called Mary. And she worked in a call centre for Qantas. And she'd been suspended for the last 3 months. Qantas is a particularly anti-Christian company. And this particular colleague at work was chronically winding her up for being a Christian. And she could take so much of it before she snapped. And this colleague then went and reported her to the authorities. And she was suspended. still required to come to work, but suspended on zero pay. And she had a child who she needed to give money to. Sorry, she was separated from her husband, and she needed to give child support care to her husband. And I said, Mary, how on earth were you able to pay for the child's support and to pay for your food when you've got no money coming in? And so she says, well, I don't know. I don't know how it happened, but each week there'd be just enough money being put into my bank account so I could survive. And I know the church that she's part of, there's not full of rich millionaires in the church. No one in the church has lots of money. Yet someone or a group have managed to get her bank details to give her just enough money. That's loving each other, caring for each other's practical needs. But also what's quite remarkable is at times, people with very little would give incredibly generously as well. Ali, can I have the next picture? Valisi, many of you will have seen her before. She's one of the staff workers with PSFC. Her monthly salary, is £70. Of that £70, she spends 15 of it on providing refreshments for the three Christian fellowship groups around different campuses like this one, so that the students who don't have anything can have a drink and a snack. I said, but Valisi, you haven't got